Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Mobile Growth Podcast by Mobile Action. Each episode, we are talking with mobile growth experts about industry news, best practices, and everything about mobile user acquisition. And today, I have a special guest with me. He has been in the mobile industry for quite a while now, and almost 2 years ago, he co-founded a mobile growth agency named Second Potion. And yes, today I'm virtually sitting with Kevin Bravo. Hi, Kevin. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, nice to meet you, and I mean, great to be in the show.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here today. So we have a lot to talk, but before we start, could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Happy to do so. So I'm Kevin Bravo. I'm actually a former developer. So I was building apps mostly on iOS for a couple of years before I moved to the dark side of marketing. And it's been like 4 or 5 years since I've been kind of a technical marketer guy. So basically, I help companies figure out what tools they need, how to implement them, and how to leverage the tools around user acquisition and CRM. So I also like run campaigns and manage marketing strategy for mobile apps and games, basically.
Awesome. All right, let's jump right in. So mobile user acquisition has changed a lot since iOS 14.5. It was released back in April, and we are going to talk about new adaptations and solutions during this period. But before we start, if you were to summarize the pre-iOS 14.5 world and the post, what would you say about main changes?
Yeah, sure. It's fairly straightforward. Basically, before iOS 14, you had one way to track users on iOS and be able to attribute an install, which is basically know where the user is from, Facebook, Google, and so on. It was using the IDFA, right? IDFA being a unique identifier that sticks with your phone. So basically, you install Facebook, and then you install Tinder, and Tinder and Facebook will have the same ID, to recognize your device, and that's how they kind of identify that you're coming from Facebook. And you also had other stuff, but this was kind of the main thing. Apple, I guess a year and something ago, announced iOS 14 and said, hey, now we're going to give more control to the user, and we're going to have something called the App Transparency Framework, which is ATT, which is basically just saying, now if an app wants to have access to your IDFA, to your user ID, they need to ask first, right? Ask consent. And this changes a bunch of things, because if an advertising channel like Facebook, Google, or Snapchat don't have access to the IDFA, it's going to be difficult for them to understand, okay, who this user is, right? Did they install the app? Are they coming from my campaign, and so on? So they would have to kind of use probabilistic matching instead, which is way less accurate. And so by doing that, Apple just basically kind of restricted attribution for most of the networks, and also for most of the attribution tools, they in the spot where, actually we cannot do the work we were doing before, right? And by doing that, they were also we know we're changing a lot of things for the user and also for the advertising industry, but we're offering something, to kind of counterbalance this, to figure out another approach to attribution. And that's when they announced SKA Network, right? SKA Network is basically a privacy-first attribution tool. To make it super simple, because it's there is a lot of layers of complexity, but to make it simple, SKA Network is just Apple doing the referee and just being in the middle and understanding when the user is coming from each network. So they use a tracked ad approach, where they have an ID on each ad that is shown to the user, and then they track this ID up to the app install and when the user do a first session, and then they can track and know, okay, this user is coming from Facebook or Google and so on. But the trick is, Apple is way more conservative with data, right? So when they do that, they don't give the same level of information that was before. So for instance, before you could say, okay, the user installed from Facebook, from this campaign, he saw this creative and he did this click at 12 p.m. Now with Apple, you have way less information. You're going to know that there was an install in between maybe Monday to Wednesday, for instance, and you won't know exactly when the user clicked or which creative he saw. Like, you're going to have more like only information on the campaign level. Anyway, that's just like one example of how it's different. But basically, we went from like a user level data, attribution to more like cohort level or channel level attribution, which is going to give us way less information. And also, it's also harder for advertising platforms like Facebook, because their algorithm, you know, was kind of relying on like retargeting, lookalike campaigns, and all of this is kind of like based on the user ID. And now we cannot, right? So it's a big impact for a bunch of these networks that need to figure out another way to navigate and to attribute installs now.
Got it. So about IDFA, after ATT released, could you give me some numbers on how users reacted to this release, you know, the opt-in rates? Yeah. And what do you think about them?
Yeah, so I think the adoption of iOS 14 took a while. And I think it almost felt like, you know, silent update, right? And I think it's because for the user, apart from the privacy thing, there were not that much in the update, right? It was iOS 14.3 or 5, I guess. And the problem is like, you know, users installing it, like rolling out to this update were kind of like looking for it at some point, right? Now it's different. Now we have way more, you know, adoption. I don't remember the numbers, but I think it's like, I guess almost half of users or like 30, 40% are rolling out to this update. And with iOS 15 and, you know, like new, UI updates and like new devices coming out and so on, it's just going to move way faster, right? Apple kind of gave us time because I think they pushed it twice actually before like releasing the update, because advertisers were stressed. I think even Apple didn't, you know, have the system working properly in the first place. But yeah, I think now the adoption is pretty high. And I've seen so many numbers, you know, like numbers saying, hey, actually the ATT opt-in is high, and some others saying like, hey, actually it's low. But we have to consider something, right? For the opt-in to make sense and to be helpful at all, it needs to be on both sides, the advertiser's app and the network where the, you know, ad is, where the ad is shown, right? Because they need both the consent to match the IDFA. So it means that it's not only like, okay, the user accepted in my app, so I'm good, I can track him. You'll have some level of data on this user that you will not have otherwise. But if the advertising platform like the channel don't have the information, it's going to be tricky. And from my personal opinion, the numbers don't really matter. I think long term, which is like in a year or so, everyone will say no to this ATT prompt, and you know, we'll just, the new normal will be the no IDFA approach. So it's just a matter of time before everyone needs to like to be full, opt out strategy on iOS.
Got it. So I think you've been running performance marketing campaigns for your clients in this period of time, and what do you think has changed in the channel performances in like Facebook, AdMob, Unity, Google, in other ad networks? What do you think has changed? And did you see any ad network has risen up in this period of time?
So I think what changed mostly is we went from like there was a period, and it happened to all my clients, and I know some, you know, kind of escaped it, but for a period, the CPI just increased, like for everyone, cost per conversion increased, just overall performance was way less effective. And during this period, I also ran like tests on scan network campaigns, right? And it's really surprising, like most of the clients and people I talk to are like, yes, scan network is terrible, I'm getting really bad performance and so on. And then when I digged a bit and I ran some tests, I realized that it was not the case with all the companies. Basically, the problem with scan network, and this is like something that, you know, it's hard to comprehend, is like when you see conversions coming from scan network, it's conversion values that you define, you know, on the app level, and you can have conversion values tracked up to like I guess 7 days, but most of the time, you know, you're going to track them first 1 or 2 days, right? And so a lot of people are looking at the numbers on scan network and being like, yeah, it looks terrible. But the truth is, you also have to account for the conversions that didn't show up yet, but will show up. Because on average, I don't know, like you take a subscription app, you're going to have like maybe like 60% of purchases first day, and then maybe 40% later. But SCAN network will only show you the 60%, right? So you also have to account for these ones. And by doing some models for clients, I did realize that some apps are less affected than others. From what I see, my experience, all the broad target, you know, no target apps, so the apps that have like a, you know, an audience size that is really high and, you know, don't have to worry too much about segmentation, are less affected. And all the apps that are like subscription-based, you know, specific targets like musicians, you know, like fitness and all this stuff, it's going to be really a big impact for them. And you see it right away on campaigns. And so you see a switch. You see a switch from iOS campaigns to Android, but you also see a switch, you know, slowly from conversion-based campaigns to CPI, like just install-based campaigns. Because, you know, like if you cannot optimize for conversions, what's the point? So instead, you're just going to get traffic and try to, you know, optimize your overall, you know, account this way.
I'm also curious, other than these ad network performances and these metrics, what do you think about Apple Search Ads performance?
Yeah, so Apple Search Ads, I mean, I didn't see so much difference, to be honest. I mean, Apple Search Ads historically had like a different way to do attribution. It was on the SDK device level. So you have like a piece of code and you can query it from the app to get the Apple Search Ads attribution data, right? So you can know which keyword the user is from and so on. And then you can track whenever you want the conversion and send them back to address or so on. Like that's how Adjust and AppSway are doing it, right? They changed that. Now you need ATT opt-in to do that. So it's like you cannot use it if the user is not ATT opt-in. But they added something else called, I think, Ad Services, which is kind of like a new API. And to be honest, it's like kind of a advantage when you look at it, because this new API allows you to have like some level of data, you know, about the user that feels like it's restricted on Facebook or Google, right? So it feels like kind of a first player's advantage there, where you're going to have a bit more to play around with on Apple Search Ads. So I feel like it's a channel that is less affected, also because usually what I see on Apple Search Ads is like, you know, a lot of campaigns are conversion based, but most of the time you have like it's almost close as, you know, like it's closer to organic networks than, you know, like Facebook, because it's intent based. So like you're going to have a lot of focus around installs volume, because, you know, like conversions are going to conversion are steady. You know, it's different from Facebook and so on, where you're going to see a lot of variation when you have problem with CPA and so on. On Apple Search Ads, it always feels like conversion flow is always steady. It's more like a matter of like how much you're spending, you know, and competitors and so on.
Got it. All right. That was a great chat, Kevin. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mobile Growth Podcast by Mobile Action. You can follow Kevin on LinkedIn at Kevin Bravo. And you can also listen to previous episodes from your favorite podcast app or YouTube of this podcast. Thank you again for listening. See you on the next episode.